Okay, welcome to episode 13 of Addiction and Redemption. I said that the last episode, Japanese Adventure, was episode 11, but it was actually episode 12. I've done so many episodes that I lost track. That's a breakthrough for me to actually see something through, to actually see a project through. So this is brought to you by Keenest Coaching. Again, my name is Dave Keenest. Find me at davekeenest.com or email me at dave@davekeenest.com, professional life coach. What the fuck is a life coach? It's a person who supports another person in becoming the fullest expression of themselves. What the fuck does that mean? Well, just check in with yourself and ask yourself if, you know, that job that you have is really fulfilling. Ask yourself if you like working 50 hours a week to make a bunch of money that you don't know what to do with. Is that fulfilling? Do you want to start your own business? Do you want to quit that job like I did 7 years ago now? Are you happy in your relationship? What would it take to have that relationship become happy? Would you like to find your soulmate? Would you like to help me find mine? We all have our fundamental struggles. Anyway, the work I do with coaching is very powerful. And the last episode, I left off with, I'm in Japan, and I just woke up out of a blackout, and what the fuck? Yeah, scary shit. And so it comes back to the seriousness of it. So I wake up after sleeping this gnarly-ass drunk-slash-pill thing off. I'd gotten on a plane and started drinking, and then I woke up in this room, and there's people talking about me on the other side of the wall, or people talking on the other side of the wall and probably talking about me, and these are my new colleagues. And I've slept for 36 hours, and I'm not only hungover, but I'm also jonesing, just needing that heroin more than I ever have. I've never experienced full-blown heroin withdrawal, and here I am in Japan in the midst of it. If you've ever seen the movie The Basketball Diaries, there's a scene where Leonardo DiCaprio is going through heroin withdrawal. His friend Jesse locks him in a closet or something, locks him in a bedroom, and he experiences withdrawal for like 3 days. It's not quite like that. The movie kind of makes it out to be a little dramatic. It's that movie is actually, it depicts a glamorous version of what it's like to be like, of what it's like to go through withdrawal. So imagine that, but just not glamorous. Just, you know, you're not drooling the way he's drooling in the movie. It just, life just really sucks. And it's one thing if you're in rehab and you're going through it with a bunch of other people and they're going through it and you just kind of grin and bear it and it fucking totally blows. It's another thing to be in a foreign country, what, 10, 11, 20,000 miles away from your house. I don't even know how far it was. I'm not going to Google it right now in this instant. But where you actually have a job to do and you actually have these people who you are supposed to be professional with. And, you know, I never had a really bad professional reputation, even when I was working in the schools in Colorado. I was always someone who could be relied upon. But here I am, just this shit show. And I don't know what to do. I'm fucked. I'm just really fucked. And so what do? I find the nearest liquor store. And I'm in Japan. I got this, like, Japanese currency. And I wander out into the streets, and it was the rainy season, and they actually sell liquor in the liquor stores 24 hours a day. And the first thing that I thought of when I kind of came to and realized what had just happened, it took me a couple minutes to realize and wrap my head around what happened. Like, I woke up out of a fucking blackout in Japan. Yes, in Japan. And I need something, and I don't have it, and I don't know where to get it, and I have no idea where to begin. And I still don't know. If you show me a map of Japan, I have no idea where I was. I have no idea on which of the islands I was. I have no idea what city I was in. I have no idea how I got to this room that I woke up in. There was some bullet train that I vaguely remember being on, or maybe a few of them. And talk about sheer terror. And sometimes I tell this story to people in specific circles, and we have a laugh about it. Even in, you know, in the recovery community, we laugh about it. But there was nothing funny about this as it was happening. There was absolutely nothing. This was the single most terrifying experience of my entire life. And I have no idea how I survived. And other than God, something that I had not discovered yet, something that I wasn't willing to discover yet, something that I didn't even know existed, that I had no clue was there, was watching over me. And I believe that there were guardian angels as well. And I think a guardian angel is just a, you know, if God is the everything, the all, the ultimate infinity of all that could ever be, I believe that your guardian angel is just a little itsy bitsy, teeny tiny, minuscule chunk of that infinity or piece or granule of that infinity that's chipped out just for you. And I don't know why some people's guardian angels watch over them and others kind of don't, but for whatever reason, I feel like something was with me the entire time, looking back in retrospect, even though I wasn't ready to give up those things I was doing. So I woke up, I got my shit together, I put my shit together, I put on a sweatshirt and some jeans or something, and I wandered out into the streets. Now, I didn't want to see these people who were my colleagues, because I was embarrassed. I mean, talk about the most ultimate embarrassment. That was the most ultimate embarrassment. And I wandered out into the streets until I found like a 7-Eleven, a Japanese version of 7-Eleven, or a Chinese. What the fuck am I talking about? I found a version of a convenience store, and I went in there and I bought some sake. I bought some cold sake, and I went home and I just started drinking it. And went home to this room and just started drinking it. And I finally sort of wandered over into the room next to me. And, you know, after I had gotten enough liquor in me to sort of maintain, and all these people were just kind of like, hey, there he is. You know, it was kind of like that thing. Like, what happened to you? And I sort of played it off like I had this weird mixture of the flu and, you know, the couple of drinks I had on the plane sort of mixed with this flu thing that I had. And so that was the reason that I had gotten so sick, or maybe I said that I had been slipped some Rohypnol or something. Who the fuck knows what I said? But I managed to sort of halfway kind of maybe sort of keep it together for a couple minutes. And then what I did is I just pretended I was sick and went back into my room and drank more. And I just kept drinking. And I just kept drinking. And I would, what my strategy was to drink so much that I would pass out and then wake up and be ready for work. Now, I think we had like 3 or 4, maybe 5 kind of cushion days before we actually started working. And so I figured that if I could just drink myself to sleep each one of those nights, that by the time it was time for us to actually teach or to learn how to teach these kids, that I'd be ready for it. But the problem was that I couldn't drink enough to make me fall asleep. I was just wide awake, and I was just getting drunker by the minute. And so what would happen is, as morning would come around, I would have been drinking all night. So that would start like I would go to the liquor store at like 7 o'clock at night and drink a bottle, and thinking that that would help me to pass out by like 9, and it wouldn't. So then I would go back to the liquor store at 9, and I would get another bottle and finish that by 10 and think that would help me to pass out, but it wouldn't. So I'd go back and get another one. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning, and I haven't slept, and I've been drinking all night. And I am drunk as hell. And it's time for me to get my shit together and show up and, you know, go take like a Japanese tour or whatever with these people before we start teaching. And I'm just shit-faced. And this is when I started to want to end it all. I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't know how to live. I had no idea how to take the next breath. I had no idea how to be me. I didn't know what me was anymore. I had no clue. I had no clue what had become of me. How did this happen? Please tell me how this happened. And I remember I was laying in bed one night trying to pass out, staring up at the ceiling, and there were all these cracks in the ceiling. And I the only thing I remembered thinking was, you're going to die. You're going to die over here. You're going to drink yourself to death, or you're going to wander out in front of a trolley car, or you're going to, who knows, right? But you could die, and they're going to ship your coffin back to the U.S., and there's going to be some sort of explanation that just doesn't make any sense for why this happened. And that was when I started to have what's referred to as moments of clarity, or a moment of clarity. It's like, you're going to die. And having that realization in the depths of my soul, this is May of 2006, was still not enough. There was a lot more ahead. And I kind of remember, like, they would have these meetings where that we would have to show up to with our suits on, and we would have to look and act professional. And I was just literally the most insane that I've ever been in my entire life. I don't know if I got more insane as time went on, probably, but the situation in and of itself was the craziest, quote unquote, adventure I'd ever found myself inside of. And I mentioned in episode one of this podcast, and just the introductory episode, that it's not a stretch to put the situation that I went through in the same category as that of people who have experienced the worst things that human beings have experienced. And I'm certainly not going to compare what I went through to, you know, what the people in who experienced the Holocaust went through, but the magnitude of it, like the extent of the existential crisis, the extent of the situation that I had absolutely, like, zero control over, was somewhere in that category. So for a human being to experience anything worse, more devastating, or more confusing than what I was experiencing here would require something to the extent of just experiencing warfare and death on a massive scale, being physically tortured, being sent to Auschwitz. Those were the things that are definitely worse, but not that much. They're in another category, but I'm at, like, the absolute top of the category below them as far as existential crises are concerned. And this was my life. And I somehow created this. And I was somehow put through this by something greater and lower than myself. So there was God above me, there was the devil below, and I had no awareness over who was who or that either one of those things even existed. And I'm still not even sure I know what either one of those things are now. But I know that they're real. So I'm going to stop it there. Thanks again for listening. This has been Addiction and Redemption. I'll put the happy face back on. Brought to you by Keenest Coaching, where anything's possible. Make a change in your life. I love the juxtaposition between life coaching and this shit I've been through. And I think I said it before, you know, working with addicts is free. Working with individuals to transform their experience of what it means to be human starts out free. Complimentary consultations available to everybody. But the facilitation of that process, that's actually what I do for a living. And it's these things that I've been through, these stories that I'm telling you, that have actually led to me understanding that anything is truly possible for anyone. So I hope you've taken something from this. Email me, dave@davekeenest.com. Check out my website. Still a work in progress, but it's coming along. And I look forward to the next episode. Have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.